You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
We'll get to Straight Outta Compton in a moment. NWA, Niggas With Attitude, it's their rise in 88 that really, I think, puts gangster R&B rap on the map. We'll get to that in a tick. First, People, Places, Things is our film with Josh Nelson. First up, he's filmology.com and Filmology on Twitter. Josh.
Good afternoon.
You're an NWA fan?
I was, and I've just realised I was listening to it in primary school, which is a little inappropriate, perhaps.
Your
sorry, Mum.
Your parents need to be taken to task. That's just wrong. Primary school, you can't listen to any of that, do you?
I think
primary
school. Well, I was, and strangely, you know, and as a and clearly as a young man growing up on the peninsula, I connected with the experience of black men growing up in Compton,
South Central LA, peninsula, just the same,
indeed,
right? Same, but different.
Yeah.
Look, tell us about first of all, People, Places, Things. We all love Jermaine Clement. What is this film?
Well, this is East Coast. This is New York City. Jermaine Clement, Flight of the Conchords, What We Do in the Shadows, the wonderful comic. He's a single father, he's a graphic novelist, he's a teacher, and at the start of the film, at his daughter's, his two daughters' fifth birthday party, he discovers his wife is having an affair, and then the film leaps forward a year and starts to deal with the ramifications.
Okay, let's have a quick listen to the trailer.
No, life sucks because my ex left me for an off-Broadway monologuist.
It's not what you think.
I think you've been having sex.
Okay. It is what you think, but this is your fault.
Mr. Henry, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just having a bad life. It'll be over eventually. I'm still getting over my ex.
Come on, I want you to meet my mom.
Where are you from?
New Zealand.
I will see all the Hobbit movies, so.
Oh, so you know all about us and our ways.
That was sassy.
Yeah, I'm a sassy little hobbit.
That's funny.
It's very funny.
Right.
Surprisingly, very endearing. I think it's maybe Jermaine Clement's a love it or hate it type of guy. I can't imagine anyone not liking him, but he has such a charm and a charisma, and he sells that strange blend of cynicism and optimism as
sounds
well.
Very Judd Apatow.
It is a little. It's also a bit Harvey Peaker, you know, the American Splendor. And I guess the graphic novel, the fact that he's a graphic novelist and he's drawing these fairly depressing images of himself, these sort of biographical graphic novel, sort of feeds into that. But this is a surprisingly charming film. I think a lot of it rests on his performance. It is very much in that low-key indie US comedy. New York is a really important kind of setting. I think, you know, this is a throwback to some of the Woody Allen-style comedies, the early ones, the good ones. And also it reminded me strangely, although the comedy is a little bit different, to the sitcom Louie, which is the Louis C.K. one, because like Louie, it's set in New York. He's a guy separated from his wife. He has two kids. He's a sort of a cynic, but he's also trying to kind of get on with his life. And I find that sort of really charming in a way. And it also uses the graphic novel aspect to sort of explore some of the themes and structure of the film, because he has this scene in his classroom where he's trying to explain the function of panels in a graphic novel, and that is the audience makes up their mind what takes place between the different panels. So that gap, that space between the two panels is so crucial, because it's the audience projects their own desires and ideas and anticipation and so on into that space. And I think the film uses that, the fact that it leaps forward a year after he discovers that his partner's been cheating on him, and we have to sort of make up our own mind what has happened in the interim. And then throughout the film, there are moments where it's up to the audience to sort of decide where characters are positioned and what their future may be, or what's actually taken place in certain scenes.
So this is a nice film.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it's low key, but it's endearing. It's charming. This was a real surprise packet. I sort of went into this expecting to find it sort of that trite indie, perhaps, you know, trying too hard, forced dialogue, trying to be cool, trying to be hipster, and it's not at all. I think this is a really charming film.
Okay, is it on broad release, by the way?
No, sadly, it's an exclusive to Cinema Nova.
Yeah. Okay. Josh sponsored by Cinema Nova. He's not actually, but hey, he may as well be. Favorite teachers in film. We'll get to your text in a moment. Paul's got one in Eltham. Paul, what's yours?
How are you, Raph?
Good.
Good, mate. Might be before your time. You might remember it. It was from the 70s, a show called Welcome Back, Cotter.
With Epstein.
Yes. Yes. And he had to deal with the sweat hogs, mate. And
Mr. Cutter.
Like that's that. Right. Yeah. And he got down onto their level, which I think is really important in terms of teaching and related to them. And got
what was his name? What was the teacher, the actor's name? Do you remember? I don't remember.
Oh.
So I remember John Travolta, but
I remember. Well, Arnold Horshack. I remember that the guy that had the funny laugh. But John Travolta was on it, and there was Freddie Boom Boom Washington. There was
he's good.
There was a few. There was the guy, Epstein, that used to have to bring his notes saying that he, you know,
Epstein's mother
wasn't it.
That's right. Fantastic, Paul. Great example. A few of you texting in as well. I like them. I like them a lot. Indiana Jones without question, says Greg in Ballarat. As a teacher, absolutely, with the eyelids shutting. Love you. Good scene. And Greg in Ballarat is nominating Obi-Wan as a close second. Is Obi-Wan a teacher? Does he fall into the category of teacher? Josh, you're the official in this case.
It's more a mentor. It's not a teacher, strictly a teacher
film.
It's
got to be on-screen teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't count. Okay. Look, there are lots of there are many other films with good teachers in them. I'm interested to know what you think. 1300-222-774. Oh, someone texting The Penguin from Blues Brothers. That's a great nomination.
Oh, that's
I
nice.
Like that.
Yeah, great.
Very nice. And even the desk that he tumbles down the stairs in. So explicitly teacher then, and then even explicitly teacher on screen. So your teacher nominations with a view to people, places, things. The low-key comedy from Jermaine Clement, 1300-222-774. And someone is saying, Mr. Cotter was Gabe Kaplan. That's from James. I think that's right. Bad boy Bubby taught the fine art of glad wrap origami. Anyway.
Glad wrap feline origami, yeah, I think
that's
the key
a
word
special
there.
Form of origami. Okay, let's get into Straight Outta Compton. Look, I want to play you, you may or may not know, this. I think this is the first single that they explode into prominence with. It is the radio-friendly version of F the Police. So let's just have a little listen. I'm hoping it's the radio-friendly version.
Police coming straight from the underground. A young got it bad because I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. That because I ain't
yeah, it doesn't really work with the piece, does it? Anyway, hey, it's 4 to 5 on local radio. So that's Niggas With Attitude, Straight Outta Compton. Is the, what is it, Josh, the fictionalised, dramatised version of their rise?
Yeah, well, some would call this a biopic, some would call this the Time Life telemovie channel version of NWA.
History Channel.
The History, well, it's not so, well, maybe it is the History Channel, actually, when you see some of the stuff that plays for, or stands for history on that channel. Look, I think it's worth pointing out from the beginning, and this will give the audience an understanding of the type of film that it is, that three of the executive producers are in fact either members of the band or the widow of one of the members of the band. So Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, and Tamika Woods Wright. And I think as a result of that, and probably some other factors as well, you have a very sanitized version.
Never let people tell their own story.
Well, I think the film suffers for it, and the film would suffer for it if it wasn't a film strictly about a band that had actually taken place, historical figures, it would just come off as bland and tedious because these characters have no dark side, and they clearly do. I mean, there's this massive disconnect in the film between their music, which is so full of rage, so full of anger, so full of misogyny and homophobia as well. And I think that's worth putting in there, that I think this is an extraordinary album with the asterisk that there are clearly some issues that the film could have dealt with. You know, I mean, the American cinema was sort of founded on anti-heroes in the Western, and yet somehow this idea of that this is more NSYNC than NWA, these are kind of saintly
yeah,
figures.
Right.
And the other issue I had with the film is it doesn't focus solely on that early period and the influence of gangster rap and the album Straight Outta Compton. It just keeps going. It goes from the mid-80s, the band's breakup, the kind of separation, and then it just becomes almost an excuse, and I'm kind of being cynical here, for just all these cameos. So, like, let's get someone playing Tupac in for a scene. And it just keeps dragging. And the film has no real dramatic structure. I mean, I think I'm in the minority. I really didn't like this film.
The reviews haven't been universal. Listen, let's just have a listen. We've got one clip. I think this is when they are on the rise and they are being harassed by the media about their language, about their message, about their swearing. And I think this is a press conference where they are confronted by the media.
Like, y'all just got a snapshot of how Americans really feel. We gave the people a voice. We gave the people truth.
Yeah, but your songs, they glamorize the lifestyle of gangs, guns, drugs.
Our art is a reflection of our reality. What you see when you go outside your door?
I know what I see.
And it ain't glamorous.
You get AKs from Russia and cocaine from Colombia.
And ain't none of us got a passport, so you might want to check the source.
Yeah, next question.
Will you be more careful about what you say, how you say it?
No. Probably not. No.
Why? Freedom of speech includes rap music, right? But we exercise in our First Amendment, as far as I'm concerned.
And the government wrote that.
Is that representative of the film, Josh?
Yes and no. I mean, that scene, the press conference scene, feels like one of those stock scenes out of a biopic. I mean, the film goes for almost 2.5 hours.
And, oh, it's long.
And
right.
I think, the key issue I had in the bit where I really turned off, there's a moment about two-thirds way into the film where there's a scene involving a black man being savaged by a dog at the hands of another black man. And it becomes window dressing in the scene. The film doesn't even want to address it. And that's an image with such loaded connotations and symbolism in the history of African-American slavery that for the scene and that and the film and the moral of the film for it just to be a kind of character walking out saying to everyone else in the studio, stop messing around, we're trying to make an album here. I felt like that was really symbolic of what the film was doing on the whole. It just didn't want to get its hands dirty. It didn't want to acknowledge that, you know, this was a tumultuous period, and it still is. I don't know how you can...
There's not like there's anything going on with black and white America at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know how... I can't think of another time since the late 80s when these songs came out and the Rodney King riots and so on where the music of NWA has been so relevant.
Yeah.
And yet to provide an image to the world of such a sanitized image that almost feels like it doesn't want to tread on anyone's toes. It wants to provide this sort of really bland version that will appeal to the broadest demographic possible. Mm. And as a result, it seems to be doing good box office. So maybe this is a decision, artistic decisions engineered by, you know, financial considerations.
Andrew's texted in from Greensboro. I think the importance of NWA back in the 80s was America still portrayed themselves as middle-class white America until NWA put the story of the ghetto front and center. Yeah, worth pointing that out. My only understanding of them, to be honest, was that they were the rise of the LA gangster rap genre, and I think actually they were the most potent version of it, and everything that came after became a more and more pale imitation. Quick word on the casting, Josh. One of the original has their son playing themselves, and also Paul Giamatti is the sort of Machiavellian record producer.
Yeah. So Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., plays Ice Cube, and you know, surprise, surprise, he's a spitting image of his dad.
Yeah.
And he's a, look, you know, the issues I had with this film are not to do with the performance. So I think everyone does their job as best they can given the script and the direction. But Paul Giamatti, I mean, coming off the back of Love and Mercy, where he played Brian Wilson's Machiavellian manager.
Lots of eye bulging,
lots of screaming, lots of bad wigs. You know, Paul Giamatti, maybe there's some other record producers or managers that he hasn't played yet, right. But sure, maybe he's...
it's a subgenre.
Exactly, he's narrowing his field, yeah.
There's probably an MTV award for best music producer, best record producer.
Well, he'll get at least two nominations this year.
Okay, so worth seeing?
Oh, look, some of the critical response would say yes. I just think this film would have been such a stronger biopic if it had focused just on the early years and the importance of the album in the context of LA in the 80s and tried to kind of create some echoes with what's going on now. But, you know, for two and a half hours, this was a stretch for me.
Okay. We've also been talking about best teachers on film because of the Jermaine Clement flick. And Jeff's called from Narre Warren. Good teacher on screen, Jeff, for you, who?
I said Mr. Holland's Opus.
You know, I've never seen it. That's with Richard Dreyfuss, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell me why I should see it. Sell it to me.
The loyalty that he generates from his students and offset by the fact that he discovers very early on that his son is deaf.
Ah, okay. Oh, and so he's a music teacher,
isn't he? Music is so important to him, but his son can't experience that.
Oh,
and yet he does. You'll have to watch to find out.
I will. And any of your teachers, were they like Richard Dreyfuss?
No.
No, me neither. None of mine were like Robin Williams. Let's get a quick traffic check with Chris Miller, who's got a teacher film, I think, nomination. What's yours, Chris?
Do indeed. Well, one of my favourites would have to be School of Rock, Jack Black. Oh, I would have loved to have had a teacher like that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever had a teacher like that, Chris.
No, we haven't. No. Yeah. Known a couple of people like it, but never had a teacher like it. And I think a special mention needs to go to Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid because, of course, while he was the teacher, still did the job.
Very honourable mention. I'm more interested, Chris, in the people who you knew who were like Jack Black in the film, but the traffic waits for no man.
774 ABC Melbourne. You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Are you through?
No.
I'm doing society a favor.
So?
That's another one right now. I've got you for the rest of your natural born life. If you don't watch your step, you want another one? Yes. You got it. You got another one right there. That's another one, pal.
Cut it out.
Oh, the tension, the drama. Had me got, I'm not even seeing it. And I had
another Nelson.
Another Nelson, indeed. Well done. You've got to text in the name of the teacher because I can't remember the actor's name. Oh. But you're welcome to text it in if you know it. Do you know it off the top of your head?
No, but I know that great line. Okay. You know, you mess with the bull, you get the horns, sticks the two fingers out.
Teacher nomination from you?
Speaking of Nelsons, why not? Ryan Gosling in the film Half Nelson, where he plays a teacher. It's almost like a ghetto type school, and he's dealing with a drug addiction and
Ryan Gosling does Sidney Poitier.
A drug-addled Sidney Poitier. Yeah,
right.
That's a really impressive film.
You know, I've seen very few Ryan Gosling films. Paul's called from Geelong. Paul.
Look, I thought Uncle Buck, John Candy, in that role. I mean, he wasn't so much a teacher, but he was, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, no, gold. I like that. That's a very, very good nomination. Ah, John Candy. Did you have any teachers like John Candy, though, Paul?
No.
See, I'm waiting for someone to call and say, I had a teacher like Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. That would really, really please me. Look, we're talking about teachers because of the Jermaine Clement film People, Places, Things, the low-key comedy with the Flight of the Conchords guy, with the guy with glasses, essentially. And we've been speaking as well about Straight Outta Compton. That is air on everywhere. It's the semi-fictionalised account of Niggas With Attitude, the band. Yeah, band, you don't call them band, do you? Anything else to say about Straight Outta Compton?
No, look, I think I've conveyed my disappointment. I think it's an issue to do with biopics or a certain type of biopic more generally. Those that try and trace chronology often lack a coherent dramatic structure because they're just simply episodic, whereas those that focus on...
But then when they did the James Brown biopic, it didn't even get it to our screens. You know, that with the fantastic... I can't remember his... what's his name? Fantastic. Anyway, the bloke who imitated James Brown, that recent biopic... That was not at all linear. That sort of jumped around, even went backwards and forwards in the future. That bombed. Maybe people just want their biopics simple and chronological.
Well, I mean, it's more in line with television. I mean, if you cut up the 2.5 hours of Straight Outta Compton and put it into 5 half-hour blocks, then you've got a serialised soap opera, basically. Yeah.
One more. No one's nominated this on the phone. A few of you nominated this one on the text as teachers in film. Surely this has got to be one of the best teachers in any film.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
What's his name? I have no idea, surely. He probably goes to conventions to this day. What, 3 minutes of screen time? 2 minutes of screen time.
All I can remember is Rooney, because the principal's name is Rooney. I've dropped that Bueller joke in a number of classrooms as a teacher, and we've passed the generation gap. No one gets that anymore.
That's it. You know, you're hanging out with the people you're hanging out with teaching, they're too young.
I need to get a whole new bunch of cultural references.
Josh Nelson, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh is at filmology.com. His Twitter handle is Filmology as well.